This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum. We're in St. Louis, Missouri. We have just ended the 2013 U.S. Championship. Grandmaster Gadakhomsky won. He defeated Alejandro Ramirez in a playoff tiebreak. They went to three games. There was an Armageddon where Gadakhomsky won that game. So that is, I believe, his fourth championship. I have with me Grandmaster Maurice Ashley, who was one of the commentators, along with Jennifer Shahade and Yasser Seirawan. What were your impressions on this U.S. championship?
Well, first of all, Diane, thanks for having me. You always do great work. Your site is something that has been doing a great service to the community all these years, so we're really proud of you for doing
Thank
that
you.
And keep up the great work.
Thank you.
This championship was one of the best I've been a part of. I mean, from the players, the organization, what they're doing here in St. Louis is just simply epic. It's outstanding. It seems like they get better year after year after year. It's like their fifth try, and they're putting on a show here. There's something for chess that other chess, not just organizations, but countries are going to want to replicate, because it just shows how chess can be done, can be broadcast. Fox Sports Midwest picking this up, making a show out of it. You know, it's just incredible to see how professional chess can be done, and I was really grateful to be a part of it.
So you have commentated the U.S. Championship several times. What made this championship different from the others?
Well, I think primarily the production value of the shows. You know, you look at how we had this great touchscreen way to present the games. It was being done. It looked gorgeous. It looked like it was being done in high definition TV. We had a great commentary team with Jen Shahade and Yasser Seirawan and myself, just vibing so well together. And the games were incredibly exciting. I think the format was exciting. You know, sometimes you have these round-robin formats where 12 players play each other. There are a lot of draws. They're afraid to fight, and they all know who they're going to play every round. But in this tournament, you don't know who you're going to play. It was hard to prepare. There was unevenness across, you know, the rating distribution. So all the games were fighting. People were trying to pick up points anywhere they could, because they knew that if they didn't, they weren't going to win this tournament. And, you know, so you saw that. Even Gadakhomsky, who rolled out to a 4-0 start, ended up drawing his next five games, even though he was desperately trying to win them. Sometimes he was desperately trying to save them. So it was just really exciting.
Well, the broadcasts were very well done, and you had your usual flair in terms of commentating. Were there any challenges in this with the new production and the equipment that you faced during the tournament?
I mean, there were a couple of glitches initially, but only because the equipment was like so high powered that, you know, people were trying to figure out how everything worked. But it really, from like first couple of broadcasts, everything started going really smoothly, and we just rolled with it, and it was just incredible. Remember, you're trying to broadcast 17 chess games live, bring that to the public, evaluate those games quickly, jump from game to game to game, which one's exciting, which ones, you know, that can go in the background for a little bit, do opening remarks on openings of the round, scintillating moves, and switch back and forth between the commentary team in front of the desk to me kind of roving to check things out and bring in the juicy tidbits. I mean, it was like really being like on SportsCenter, man. I really felt like I was ready to like comment on the Heat versus the Bulls. I know you don't appreciate that very much right now, but you know.
Yeah, because they're actually playing right now, and hopefully I'll get a chance to catch up.
They're losing badly, your Bulls, by the way, but anyway, maybe that's changed since
I last saw
it.
Hopefully. Well, were there any surprises to you in this tournament? We know Gadakhomsky was going to be the favorite. Were there any surprises that came out of this tournament?
Man, there were tons, at least for me. I mean, I saw the new face of American chess. That's what happened in this tournament. You know, you saw young players like Tom Sevian acquit himself quite well. John Bryant, who got an IM norm, who shocked everybody the way he was beating on people. Caden Trofe, who got a GM norm at 15 years old. Come on, that's Bobby Fischer territory if you think about it. And I think that he just turned 15, so if he goes to the Chicago Open and gets another GM Norm, he's a step away from probably breaking Fisher's record. I mean, think about that. That's astonishing. And he's going to be close anyway, no matter how you slice it. It's not going to take him until he's like 17, I don't think, to get the GM title. So we have great young players. And then, of course, you know, you had Alejandro Ramirez, who really was an eye-opener in this tournament, took Kamsky down to the Armageddon game and really played some scintillating chess. It wasn't like a fluke.
Right.
He played some of the best chess of the tournament, deserved to come in second place. So I think you're seeing, you know, a really new face in new faces in American chess, new young faces that promises to elevate the level of chess in America for years to come.
And let's not forget Grandmaster Conrad Holt, who had a wonderful tournament. I think he had +2, 5.5. My next question is about the women's championship. Of course, they were concurrent, and of course, Irina Krush won the championship. Now, in the last, I guess, 7 or 8 years, Krush and Zatonsky have won all the championships. Do you think that there's any way to breathe maybe some life so that the other players are more motivated, or is it that they're simply the two strongest players right now?
You know, it's really hard. They're just a cut above the rest. The only female player that challenges them, you know, right now is Tatev Abrahamian. And it really reminds you of the days of, like, Martina versus Chris Evert in tennis, following the tennis analogy, when, you know, you got guys like Federer versus Nadal, where one and two are just established and everybody else is just staring at them saying, when am I going to get a piece of this action? And it takes it's going to take a lot of fortitude and will and talent on the part of a new female player to say, I want to break into that group and make some noise. Those two are the dominant players of this generation. 8 championships, as you said, in the last 8 years, there's just been 2 names. Finally, Irina has won 2 in a row even, because they were just trading championships for a long time. So I think it's an epic rivalry that we should appreciate in chess. But we do need some fresh blood. I don't think you need to make this some kind of artificial way. I think the female players just have to step up to the challenge and emerge as one of the contenders for these two women.
Now we have Sarah Chang and also Elena Katz, who played in the U.S. Championship, and those were both relatively young players. What do you think can be done to get more motivation for young girls to aspire to play in these types of championships?
Well, I think a lot of things are being done right now. I mean, Susan Polgar is doing some things with the All Girls Championship. She does a lot of these kind of tournaments to support chess in America. Seeing events like this, of course, are great for chess. And the young players that you mentioned, I think particularly Sarah Chang, you know, she's only 15 years old. She was the youngest competitor in this tournament. And although she didn't do brilliantly well, she'll gain the experience. And I suspect you're going to see her very shortly rise to at least the middle level of the females and then maybe even make a bigger push. She definitely has talent and has a great work ethic as well. I think that it will take some time still, but great efforts are being made to support girls, and they'll see, you know, there's some money to be made. Unfortunately, I think the money is not the kind of level for young ladies to think that this is what's going to be their profession.
Mm-hmm.
Until that happens, we'll probably need a complete breakout star that reaches the American public eye. Which, by the way, I should mention that I think the next breakout star is Caden Trofe in American chess.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a person, he has a great look to him, he has a kind of, you know, boyish, sheepish grin all the time, he interviews amazingly well, dresses immaculately for a 15-year-old. I'm very impressed. And he's a great player. And I think that my belief, you know, within a few years, we're going to be talking about him the way we, at least in American chess, the way we talk about Magnus Carlsen in the world stage. So I say give it 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be Magnus Carlsen's level. You know, that guy is something else. But I think in American chess, we're going to have something to talk about.
Speaking of American chess, we have Hikaru Nakamura, who's playing in Norway. It's a Super GM tournament. I think one of the strongest, if not the strongest ever. What do you think of his chances? Of course, he's not going to be in, he wasn't in the Canada's tournaments. But what do you think about the upcoming cycles in terms of his chances to compete for the world championship.
Nakamura has proven himself to be one of the top players in the world. You know, if you say top 10 players in the world, his name is going to come out very shortly after you mention like the big four, you know, Carlson, Anand, Aronian, and Kramnik. He's proven that he can beat anybody, and he's beaten the world champion, and he beat the world champion just recently in the tournament in Norway. So he's always going to be competitive. I have to say that his main obstacle is a guy named Carlson. And that's a problem, because everybody's main obstacle is this kid named Carlson. It's the kind of a sad thing for players. You know, you had guys like Roddick, who never was able to break through in tennis. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I'm a big tennis fan. Mm-hmm. Never able to break through because there's always these guys in the way. You know, it's right. Like, man, I had to be born right now. Well, I couldn't have been born a couple of years later, a couple of years earlier. Maybe you could have been competitive. But you're born just at the wrong time to deal with a once-in-a-generation talent. And so I think that for Nakamura, if he can stay the course and do some things to make himself more rounded as a player, maybe it's his end games that need to improve, and also he's to get over the psychological hurdle of playing against Carlson, because frankly, he has a horrible score against him, and it really shouldn't be that bad. I mean, you know, it just shouldn't be. So I think that he has to deal with that, and if he can get past that somehow, maybe he can compete against him. I mean, against everybody else. I say Nakamura has a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. Any match, you put him up against Kramnik, Anand, Aronian, all of them, I don't see him having any fear whatsoever. And I would say the odds makers wouldn't make it like a crazy bet. Mm-hmm. But against Carlson, it's like, dude, man, he's always getting hurt by this guy. So that's really the bottom line for him. He's already established himself as one of the elite players in this generation, last 10 years, for sure. And he just needs to get past, somehow, this one obstacle.
Let's switch a little bit and talk more about what you've been doing in terms of your projects. I know you're pumping out these chess-based DVDs, one after the other. What are some other projects you're currently working on?
Well, you know, I did these four DVDs. I haven't actually been pumping them out so frequently. I did three back-to-back. I did three at the same time, I should say. And they just published them one after the other.
Okay.
But since then, my biggest project really has been teaching chess at a high school level. This is a new thing for me. I work at the school, Automotive High School in Brooklyn. It's the first high school I've ever taught chess at in a consistent way. And it's really simply motivated me to be a part of changing lives like nothing I've ever done, maybe back in my early Raging Rooks days. We're going back 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching at the high school level, these kids actually understand themselves why chess is so good for them. And they can articulate that. You know, not like 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds who just love the game and want to play. The high school level, they get it. They're like, wow. So I have about 70 kids in my program. It's voluntary completely. They come during their lunch hours and after school, and these are kids who, let's just say, people wouldn't suspect are going to play chess. You know, it's a tough neighborhood in Brooklyn. These kids are kids that are not wanted by other high schools. They end up at this school, and man, it's just a joy to see them come into my room. Their eyes light up when they see me, and they just want to play some chess. It just reminds me why this game is such a great game and why I love it so much.
What is the break the demographics of the school? Is it mostly male? Is it all male? Is it mixed? Or
it's 95% male. I would say about 60-70% African American. The rest essentially Latino. And but there are a few girls in my program as well. We've got some girls who come in, and really one of them showing some serious talent. They all got fighting spirit. We just had our high school tournament. And they just love it, and I love it. I mean, you don't have to take 2 weeks off to come to the championships. And they were like, what? You leaving? We're not going to have any chess? Come on. You know, so I'm looking forward to going back to school and freaking on the program again to close out the year.
Well, one last question. I wanted to ask you about the movie Brooklyn Castle that came out actually last year when it premiered. What's your impressions of the movie, and do you think that movie is going to make an impact in terms of showing the value of chess in terms of youth and opportunities that they can earn by playing chess.
I think it was a great movie. It really showed what chess competition is about and how hard it is and how heartbreaking it can be, but then on the flip side, how positively uplifting it can be. And it featured some fantastic kids, some great talents. These kids are showing the whole world what can happen when you invest in youth, when you believe in youth and what they can do. And now one of my students, Rochelle Ballantyne, she's one of the girls featured in the movie, and I'm helping her to achieve her dream of becoming the first African-American female master. She really wants to do it. She's got a talent. She just beat a 2400 to win a tournament, and her rating is up to 2120 something. But I tell her, 2200 is not enough, man. You got to think 2400. Mm-hmm. Really put your eye on the big girls. Like, you can be special, and she's bought into that. And I think that's what makes that movie so special, is that they're inspiring kids to believe they can do anything they want to. And that movie is real. It's what it's about. And I've already gotten a lot of people talking to me about that movie from all over the country when I travel. Mm-hmm. So I think it's wonderful for chess, and it's making a serious impact.
And maybe Rochelle Ballantyne can be one of those prospects for the U.S. Women's Championship in the future. And there are others as well. Of course, Darian Robinson, who's a freshman at University of Chicago, is also one who has those aspirations. Well, Maurice, it was really a good show. You had a wonderful run. Is there anything else that you want to leave with the chess drum audience?
Well, again, I'd like to say you're doing a great job. You have done a great job over the years. Thanks for your service. I always like doing these interviews with you because it feels like I'm giving back as well in the same format. And, hopefully I was able to bring some points that enhance your show.
Definitely. Well, Maurice, it's always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll see you again soon. And all the best.
Thank you.
This is Daim Shabazz, and we're signing off in St. Louis.
Thanks, bro.